Your people understand. Amen. Your people understand. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. See, let me tell you something. We need to fight to restore the culture of Bible study in church. I'm telling you. And I feel that, I believe, is the reason why churches do midweek services. That Bible study. Without Bible study, you have no foundation. If you don't have a church where they have times where they open the Bible to really see what it says, you will never grow. Are you with me? And while we have legitimate reasons to see midweek service as of lower priority, I feel like it is actually the service of greater priority. I'm telling you. Amen. Say after me, we will take Bible study serious. New breed will take Bible study serious. Then you say, I will take Bible study serious. Jeremiah chapter 18 from verse 1, it says, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, let me read it again. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Everybody read with me from verse 3. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made, am I alone? Verse 4, read it again. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. Hi. You know, I know the context here is for Israel, but God may just be saying to someone, O house of New Breed, O Choma, O Tosin, O Minister Owen, O Emmanuel, O David, cannot I do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. You know, when he's saying, cannot I do what I've done to this clay with you? Even though he's asking a question, you need to understand that the next statement he said explains that even though you resist me from molding you the way this potter is molding this clay, at the end of the day, you are still clay in my hand. Are you with me? And I am still the potter. That means if you keep resisting, there will be times where you will have to be broken in a way that you don't want. Are you with me? As you already know, our teaching emphasis for this month is true north, following God's plan for your life. And what I've been trying to do, or what the Lord has been opening my eyes to do, is that before we enter the core of knowing what you're supposed to be or what you ought to do, there are some foundations that must be laid. Are you with me? So that we can build properly upon them. Are you with me? So what do we mean by yielded? It means a life that has learned to surrender. To be yielded means to submit to the influence or the will of something else or someone else. Are you with me? To be yielded means to surrender, to submit to the influence or the will of something else or someone else. That's what it means to yield. Are you with me?
Look at Psalm 16, verse 11. Psalm 16, verse 11. Everybody read with me. 1, 2, 3, go. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Read it one more time. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. You see, when you read this verse, there's an unspoken expectation that if you are shown the path of life, you will follow it. Do you realize that if you read that verse, he didn't say, that will show me the path of life and I will walk in it. He just says, that will show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At the right hand, thy presence forevermore. It looks like this man was already waiting for the path of life. Are you with me? He was already hungry to say, Lord, show me your path and I will follow it. There was no question of, will I follow or will I not follow? Are you with me? He says, thou will show me the path of life. In the presence of fullness of joy. I felt like if you read something like this, that will show me the path of life, and Lord, I make up my mind to follow it. It was not a question of will I follow or I will not follow. If you show me the path, I will follow. Are you with me? So he did not need to mention that I will follow. It was already there in his heart. If you show me the path, I will follow it. Are you with me? And like I'm going to show you, one of the secrets to even knowing God's plan for your life is that long before you see the plan, you would have made up your mind that when he shows me his plan, I will follow. You know, Bishop Oyedepo said one time, he was praying to God, Lord, show me your plan. Show me your plan. Then God asked him, if I show you my plan, will you follow it? He says, I am committed to leading you if you are committed to following. Are you with me? Even from the way David spoke, you can see that that guy was bent on following God's plan. When you hear scriptures like, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He did not say, the Lord is my shepherd and I will decide to follow him. As long as he's my shepherd, that means I am a sheep. Are you seeing that unspoken response there again? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Meaning, the Lord is my shepherd, I will be the sheep. Are you with me? Some people, you know how they quote that scripture with their lives? Lord, you are the sheep. I am the shepherd. That's how some people quote that scripture practically in demonstration. I want to say something, but I don't know how it will sound. No, those days in the university and even after school, when I counsel a lot of sisters who want to get married and they see a guy they like, but this guy does not love God. He's not spiritual. He's not. So, when they come to, you know, when somebody already knows that this is not the will of God, but they are looking for someone that will convince them that don't worry, it's your work. Who knows what I'm saying? Oh my God. So they come and they came to meet me for counseling, you know. That, Pastor, what do you think about this guy? Then Anna asked them, how is the guy? They will start from, sir, he's a very nice person. He's gentle. He's this. He's this. He's this. And they will not say, but he doesn't carry church on his head, though. He's not like, he's not so serious about God. I said, okay, have you tried talking to him about God? And what was the response? Like, say, he does not like to hear anything about God, even church. But see, sir, he's spiritual. He's spiritual. He loves God in his heart. They will spend 30 minutes trying to convince me. I thought you came to ask me, what do I think? But you are using all the time to convince me that I should agree. Just agree that you are the shepherd. And you want every other person, both your pastor, your parents, your God, everybody should be the sheep. You are the shepherd. Same to be brothers too. This way, let me not drift into, maybe because February is close. Today is January 14th, Abi. February 14th is 1 month from now. Maybe I'm feeling the wind from that place. Many of you are getting married this year. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10 from verse 7. Let me show you a secret here. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 7. You know, on Sunday we said that God has a plan for your life, right? Look at Hebrews chapter 10 from verse 7. It says, "Then said I, behold, I come to do thy will." Okay, I'm reading New King James. Let's read Old King James, please. Everybody, one, two, three, go. "Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God." Now, look at the way this verse is written. That bracket, that we see there was inserted. So let's read it as though that bracket was not there. Ignore everything in the bracket and read this verse. One, two, three, go. "Then said I, lo, I come to do thy will, O God." It seems to me that what this verse is saying is that if I make up my mind to do the will of God, what is written about me in the volume of the book will be open to me. Are you with me? It says, "Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God." It looks like if you make up your mind to do the will of God, the plan of God for you will be revealed to you. As it were, it is one of the secret codes to knowing what God's plan is for you. It is that before you see the plan, you say, whatever the plan will be, Lord, I am willing to follow. Remember, he says, "Thou will show me the path of life," in Psalm 16 verse 11. "Thou will show me the plan of life." The path of life, I mean. That means the path of life is not something you stumble on carelessly. It is something that you must be shown. Are you with me? "That will show me the path of life." That will show me. It has to be shown to you. But for it to be shown to you, you would have made up your mind that, "Lo, I come to do thy will." Are you with me? So you will learn to pray prayers like this. "Lord, anyhow your will looks, I will follow it. Even if I don't like it, even if it is not pleasing to my flesh, I will choose your will." Are you with me? Say after me, "Lord, I choose your will. Lord, I choose your way. Lord, I choose your will. I choose your way. I am yielded to your will. I yield to you. I surrender to you." Amen. See, this is part of the things I call Christianity 101. This thing. We are living in a day where people want to mix serving God with serving the devil. And how will it work? I saw something that made me laugh. The person said, it made me laugh, but I thought about it, and it makes sense. So he said, how do Christians manage to listen to secular music? How do they do it? How did they do it? Do you know there are people, Christians, they go to church. I was talking about this on Sunday. They go to church. Some of them even speak in tongues. But they will be explaining to you how a song that promotes profanity, they can still sing it and they are okay. Please, you know what I'm talking about. You know, something happened one day. Last year, I was, you know, when we were talking about overcoming temptation, and I was shouting how that you go to social media, go and look at all the celebrities that expose their body, that expose their backside, their breast, and all of those things. Check their followers. Many of them have 100,000 followers, 200,000 followers, 500,000 followers. More than 50% of their followers are Christians. You even see some of your friends, some of you that you are in the same service unit, also followed by. You know, one day, I remember I mistakenly stumbled on Beyoncé's page. Almost, that one, her followers like a country. Is it almost 200 million? Mistakenly, I said, "Wait, my brother, you didn't follow this lady too?" Yeah?
I feel like the number of my fellow believers and ministers, what are you doing? Three posts, I almost vomited. When you look at that page, no need to look for a naked woman. You have seen. No need. What is that? And I felt like asking, imagine you died and went to heaven and they were playing Beyonce's song. Will you enter? Everybody's going, will you enter? You have to check, is this heaven? You have to check, I hope I'm not at the wrong address. Then you are a believer. Especially the songs that you know God is not inside. There are some worldly songs that if you don't listen well, you will think it's a Christian song. Who knows what I'm talking about? You know, if you don't listen well, because the lines sound like things that a consecrated believer will write. Do you know how long it took for me to know that song, he lives in you, yeah. He lives in me, he watches over. I thought it was a Christian song. I was singing it for years. But one day, I said, who wrote this song? I think it was Dinah Ross. I went to check. This will not be Christian. No. Every day to see, I was singing it. The other day, that was in the university, about 10, 15 years ago. Somebody was playing John Legend. This time you have it all. Me, I went, I was singing it. This time I give my... I was singing it in worship like this. So after the worship service, somebody called me and asked me, do you know who sang the song? I said, I don't know, but I believe it's a song of... We are consecrating all to God. This time you have it all. This time I give my all. He now played the video for me. He's show a naked lady. This time you have it all. I said, yeah! Some of you even sing all of me. They are quiet. If you're not singing it for your wife or the person you're about to marry, I don't know. See how this church is so quiet. Everybody here is acting like they don't know. Okay, let's go. I'm alone, Abby. Okay, it's guilt. Guilt is making everybody quiet. No, it's meditation. They are meditating on what I'm saying. This is Christianity 101, that anything that contradicts my faith, everything that contradicts the mind of God, I should not debate it. Are you with me? Let me show you another one. Psalms 25 from verse 9. Remember, I said it is one of the secrets to knowing God's plan for your life, right? Psalm 25 from verse 9. It says, the meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. What does that mean? It means that the person who is easy to receive the word of the Lord and does not explain it away, that does not try to defend himself to make himself look correct before God, that's the one God will teach his way. One of the ways I explain this thing, I remember when I read this verse, the first time I read this verse, Psalm 25 from verse 9, the meek will he guide in judgment. I had just finished from secondary school and I was to teach in a primary school. So I taught all the classes. Oh my God. I taught all the classes. So there was a time I was handling the pre-nursery. And you know, when you're handling pre-nursery, sometimes you have to hold your hand to write. So, there was this child. Oh, you want to write three. This guy has made up his mind that he wants to do his stroke. Oh, my God. I say, a cough, another cough. The guy said, no. So, I'm holding his hand, though, but he has what he wants to do. Is that, oh, my God. I have to use force to bend the hand and say, you will write three today. Today, you will write three, a cough and another cough. Once I'm done, you will do chaka, 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 chaka. Exactly. Nobody go tell me what I go do. I said, we want to write 1 to 10. No, he wants to do a stroke, another stroke,
The meek will he guide in judgment. This one, the stubborn will he lead to on his own way. Are you with me? I was holding this boy's hand. After a while, I said, and that child came. This one was a girl. Her hand was just flexible. Anything I wanted to write, it was going so easily. Ah, I said, truly, the meek will he guide in judgment. The soft-hearted will he guide in judgment. The one that does not have strong head will he guide in judgment. We are writing three. We wrote four. At a point, I didn't want to take another child to write. I just felt like staying with this child so that we can write all the numbers and she will master all the numbers. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What if some people, God wants to write a statement with their life? God wants to write, I will make you great. Then they say, Lord, I want to write, I'm a baddie. I am a baddie. God is trying to hold them. I am a baddie. I am a Christian baddie. God is saying, I want to write something else. After a while, God will say, please, I'm tired of forcing. Please shift. The meek will he guide in judgment. Somebody is saying, Pastor, why did you come with so much violence this evening? What's the problem? Say after me, I will be yielded. So quickly, why do we struggle with being yielded to God? Why do we struggle? Number one, we struggle with yieldedness because we have limited knowledge. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Our knowledge is limited. That's why we struggle. We know too little. So many times when God is leading us or trying to do something with our lives, we think we know better. When we know, we hear God's opinion, we think we know better. Proverbs chapter 3 from verse 5 to verse 7. Why do we struggle with being yielded? Our knowledge and our understanding is limited. Proverbs 3 verse 5. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. Now, he says in verse 7. Everybody read verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Read it again. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Do you know what that means? It means that whenever you feel like you are wise in your eyes, no matter what you are doing evil. Whenever you feel that you are wise in your eyes and you want to act contrary to what God's word says or what his mind is set on doing, you are acting in evil. You just don't know. For instance, God told Moses to speak to the rock and not strike the rock, and water will come out. And then, what did Moses do? Out of anger, Moses struck the rock and did not just strike the rock, he struck it twice. And water still came out. And then God said, because of this thing, you did not sanctify me amongst the people. You will see the promised land, but you will not enter. Now to Moses, Moses that felt, what did I do wrong? What was the big deal there? I was supposed to speak. Okay, yes, out of anger, I struck the rock. And I did it twice. What was the big deal there? Why is God so wicked? Some of you must have even read that verse and you even thought, maybe God was just too mean to Moses. Until you come to the New Testament and discover that what Moses was doing was more serious than he thought. The life of Moses, and actually the prophet of old, represented in a picture, in a prophetic picture, the work of Christ. Listen. And if we study 1 Corinthians 10, I think 2 Corinthians 10, it says that the rock that Moses actually spoke to was Christ. The rock that God told Moses to speak to instead of strike was Christ. Are you following this? Are you following this? And now, Moses struck it twice. Do you know what that means?
If he struck it once, it would have still made sense. He struck it twice. It meant that Christ would have to die twice. So to Moses, it was just maybe an error of practice. But to God, you are distorting the whole prophetic plan. That is why, for doing that, you will not enter the promised land. Oh, you will not enter. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. He says, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. So whenever you don't fear the Lord, you know, last week, Wednesday, we were talking about the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, right? Whenever you don't fear the Lord and ignore his own ways and think that the way you want to go is wisdom, it may take you years to find out how much of a mistake you've made. Are you with me? You know, I am discovering even simple devotions like coming to church. Simple devotions. For instance, if you were God and you want to set up a coincidence to push people into your destiny, there has to be some patterns. Okay, I don't want to say let's leave God out of it. Let's assume, God forbid, you will never be this. Let's assume you were an assassin and they sent you to gun down somebody. Before you'll be able to get the person, you have to know the person's pattern. So sometimes in our walk with God, for God to set up some encounters for you, you have to have a consistent pattern with him. You know, many times, this is why God gives us supernatural encounters to help us understand. You know, in 2016, then I used to serve in Dunamis Gospel Center in Makurdi. Something happened. There was a lady that was traveling in January, and the plane was about to crash. The plane was shaking. The pilot said, everybody, prepare yourselves. You're about to have a very bad crash now. Close your eyes and pray. And we were just shouting, Jesus. And she just screamed, Jesus, help me. And after she shouted, the pilot said he doesn't know what happened. But his hand was not controlling anything. He felt like a strange hand lifted the plane and brought it down safely at the airport. And he came down. They all came down and they were thanking the woman. And she was like, oh, praise God. Thanks be to God. 1 year later, do you know, she didn't go to church to give testimony. She didn't share it with anybody. She just, 1 year later, exactly 1 year from that day, she was this kind of person. The day she wants to go to church, she goes, that day, she didn't go to church. She was at home. He said, while she was in the house, she ran to church to give that testimony while she was in the house. Jesus walked into our room physically, opened the door in white, and said, it's been 1 year since I saved your life from a crash. You never came to thank me. He said, it's been 1 year since I sent my angels to hold that plane. Have you forgotten? He said, and I came. Jesus, now, this is the part that got me. Jesus said, and I came to church today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Jesus said, and I came to church today to check for you, and you were not in church. You know, even when you read the Bible, if you read the book of Revelation closely, you will discover there was a time when Jesus was talking about, I think, the church in Pergamos, and he said, their church is at the place where Satan's seat is. And he knows all they are doing, even his faithful martyr, Antipas. Jesus mentioned a member of that church. Are you with me?
So if God cannot plan with you and say the day he wants to visit you, are you sure she will show up there? Are you sure? Are you with me? There are some people that they are constantly against the way God is moving. When God is going left, they want to go right. When God is going right, they want to go middle.
You know, in my personal Bible reading, I was reading about Esau and Jacob. That guy Esau,
Kai, he was an Esau.
Truly, Jacob, they saw in his hand. Esau.
They just called him and his brother, "Don't marry the women of the Canaanites and the women that are not of this fold." Esau stood up from there. Like, they just instructed him, "Don't go and marry out of this." My guy stood up immediately and went to Egypt and collected Bashemat.
Have you not seen that verse in the Bible? That guy was a funny guy.
Hallelujah. Okay. The way they are looking at me is like I'm on my own. Okay, let me go on. Limited knowledge. That is why we struggle with being led. Limited knowledge. What brought me to all those things? Many times when God is giving you instructions, he has a bigger perspective. Are you with me? There are other things he's seen. See, let me just tell you. Do you know how many times I've asked God, "This Abuja you sent me, self. Are you sure I should be here? Are you sure I should be here?" And not because the work is not moving, no. It is actually, to be honest, can I be honest with you? The favor we have received in this Abuja, is much more than we have received ever in ministry. I'm telling you. The speed, do you know how long it took in Port Harcourt for us to buy one AC? Oh my God. If you are talking about physical progress, are you with me? Financial progress, divine intervention, I have seen it much more in Abuja than I have seen it anywhere else. The decision that they said was hard. Are you with me? The challenges that other people, other ministers, they say Abuja is expensive. It's expensive, though. But the way God helps us and has helped us and is still helping us, are you with me? You know why I was asking God? I was missing Port Harcourt. In Port Harcourt, there is a way I'm hungry. I would just say, "Where's Bole?" Nothing compares to Port Harcourt Bole. Oh my God. All of you are so quiet. Okay, I'm the only current one here. Okay, sorry, you are fasting. Sorry. I shouldn't be talking about Bole when you are fasting. Sorry. I miss Port Harcourt Bole. I miss family members. I can just, some Sunday evenings, I can just say, can tell my wife, "You know what? Let's just go and see my mother or my father-in-law. Her family is there. My own family is there. We can just drive there and have a good evening." But Sunday evening here in Abuja, I'll be thinking, whose house are we going to relax? No, I was saying, "You know what? Let's just stay and pray." Marakava sakataya. It's like, "God, I'm homesick." God. Are you with me? Then when I go back, ask God, "Lord, what are you saying?" Lord said, "See, my son, I sent you here. It may take me 20 years to know." Are you with me? And one thing about God, he will make sure you know exactly what he's saying so that you cannot claim you don't know. Let me tell you something. Whenever it seems like you are still confused about the matter, you don't know the will of God. When God's word comes about a thing, you will know clearly, "This is what God wants me to do." Are you with me? Don't worry, we'll get there in this teaching series. When you are still, "Is he God? Is he not God? It's like, it's my mind. No. I sense, I feel, I'm not..." God has not given you a final stamp. Once the will of God is clear, you will know. He will make it very clear. "I want you to do this thing." Are you with me? It may take me 10 years to know. It may take me 3 years to know why he said. In fact, the first week I moved, a couple called me.
the realm of the spirit. I did not tell them about my movement that I've come to Abuja. A pastor, husband and wife, they called me. They said, Pastor David, my wife and I, at the same time, we had the same dream. Same night. They said, Pastor David is in Abuja now. The wife asked her, how did you know that I dreamt about this? They said, they just called to tell me that, Pastor, you are in the will of God. I said, this is strange. So I said, okay, maybe it's just coincidence. As I was dropping my phone that day, another person called me. This one was a pastor friend in Kaduna. He said, Pastor David, this one, his name is Pastor Dominion. He said, Pastor David, you are in Abuja now, right? I said, what is going on? Is God gossiping me to people? He said, you are in Abuja, right? I just want you to know that you are in the will of God. I dropped my phone. That day, I had like almost 6 messages saying the same thing. I said, God, why do you do this? Then the Lord replied to me that many times when it comes to my will, I give people enough confirmation so that in the future they will not claim not to know. No, you will not claim not. Are you with me? Jesus. God will help me finish this teaching in Jesus' name. We know too little. That's why we struggle with being led. And many times, God will not show you the whole picture. He wants you to walk with him by faith. Are you with me? So he will give you enough to convince you that this is what I want you to do. He will give you enough. The second reason why we struggle with being yielded is the flesh. The flesh. You can call it the human sinful nature. You can put it in brackets. The human flesh, that you can also call the sinful human flesh, is sinful human nature, is designed to reject the counsel of God. Listen to what I'm saying closely. The human flesh is designed to reject the counsel of God. So what is the flesh? Let me define the flesh for you. The flesh is the human propensity to act contrary to the mind of God, the will of God, and the ways of God. Let me read it again. The flesh is the human propensity. The flesh is the human propensity to act contrary to the mind of God, the will of God, and the ways of God. I'll read it for the last time. The flesh is the human propensity to act contrary to the mind of God, the will of God, and the ways of God. I pray for you, you have understanding. The Bible says in Galatians 5 verse 17, it says, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Let me read it again. For the flesh lusted against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. See, one simple way to know the mind of God is, what is the flesh saying? Once you know what the flesh is saying, you will know the opposite of what is saying there. You can get, you know, somebody said, some of you have even said it too, that don't worry, if you just marry, fornication will stop. If a marriage, just let me tell you the truth. I want to ask you, you may not have seen, but haven't you seen people that have 4 wives, yet they still cheat? Ah, my God. I do marriage counseling. So there are some things I have seen that has made me know, the flesh, the flesh is designed to act contrary to the will and the mind of God. There was a couple I once counseled years ago. They are married. They have a good marriage now. They are blessed with 2 children. Years ago, when they were dating, that's many years ago, they came to meet me and said, Pastor, we need help. We cannot look. The guy said, if I see her like this, my body will be shaking. My body will be shaking like this. He said, if we see, something must happen. I said, we should do fast and marry. Do fast, oh. I thought it was the guy that was only having the problem. I called the lady and said, see, this you are not married. You cannot be having sex. You can't. He said, Pastor, but you know, be firewood. When she said this, my jaw just dropped. I said, Jesus. Ah. He said, even me too, I'm not like me, I want it. Ah. I said, okay. So I fast-tracked, I pushed them. They went, they got married. 2 years after they got married, they had challenges. I had to counsel them again. Guess the problem? We're not having sex. So now, when they were not married, the flesh wanted them to do this. Now they are not married. The flesh does not want... Ask married people. A time will... No wonder the Bible said, for married people, the Bible said, render due benevolence to your husband and to your wife. Because as a husband and as a wife, there is a way your relationship can become tense. You will not be interested again. A time will now come where it is not just that you want to have sex, but it is a duty that you have to give to your partner. Those of you, young people that believe that, okay, don't worry, when we marry, morning, we will do. Afternoon, we will do. Evening, a time will come in your journey. Even 1 week self, you say, God, I don't want to do. But guess what? I have seen, ask married people. I have seen married people, sometimes even challenges, life problem. By the time the school fees tie you like this, house rents tie you this corner. No, your case is different. Amen. You will glide through life with peace. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. I have seen people, after a while, the very thing that you were willing to disobey God to do, because now it is not the will of God, you don't have the energy to do it. You don't understand what I'm saying. I don't know if you get what I'm trying to say. The Bible says, love your wives. If you think love is that easy, why do marriages have problems? Some say, oh, love is all that is required to make a marriage happen. Don't worry, me, I can love. Me. Just give me a woman, I will love. Don't worry. Don't worry. When you now marry, you now discover that loving your wife, before marriage, love was, there's a way you will love it to be seen against God. Now that you are now married, do that love. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes, sir. Why am I bringing this up? There is a way the flesh is designed. Once the flesh knows this is the will of God, it wants you to follow the opposite. Are you with me? The way some of you... Please, are you getting what I'm saying? Yes, don't worry. We'll preach the sermon again on Sunday. It must be you there to God. And on Sunday, I will add, revise, and expand it. Somebody said, hey, you'll be in church for long. Just prepare yourself. Hallelujah. Let me show you another one. Romans 8, verse 7 to 8. It says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, it is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can it be. Neither indeed can be. Verse 8. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Are you seeing this? The person that allows that human propensity to act against the will of God, a person that is living under that kind of influence, cannot please God. Are you with me? You know, Genesis 2 verse 16, the Bible says, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for on the day you eat of it you surely die. Actually, it was at the point of disobeying this command that the flesh was created. When Adam and Eve disobeyed this command, this human propensity to consistently disobey the will of God was created. Are you following me? It was at this point when they disobeyed that command. That was when it was created. Have you ever wondered what did the knowledge of the fruit of good and evil really mean? Or what did the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil mean? What kind of fruit is that? What really was the significance of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil? What really was the significance? Let me tell you what it meant.
The fruit of the knowledge of good and evil is the knowledge of good, yet you do evil. Did you hear what I just said? Once Adam and Eve ate that fruit, they had come under a law and a system where you will know good, but it's evil you will do. Check the world. Is that not the problem of the world today? Ask everybody what we need to change Nigeria to be a great nation. They will tell you. Everybody knows that if we do this and if we do this, the country will be great. Take them there. Just carry one random person that's saying Nigeria is hard. Just carry a random human being, make him the president, and see what he will do. Are you following me? The knowledge of good. Yeah, they do evil. You think we don't know what to do to go forward? When we have, you know, some days in the prayer and fasting, and I was saying, every distraction, everything that is stopping me, people know what to do to go forward. Many times, they have written their goals for the year. They have written their resolutions for the year. They know, but somehow, there is such a strong propensity within man that they will know good yet do evil. Sometimes, even as they are doing evil, this thing is bad, boy, I'm doing it. It's bad, oh. This thing is bad, oh. But they are doing it. They are inside.
Oh my God. You people are acting like, Pastor David, why are you so not nice today? You know, and in the New Testament, it is called the law of sin and death. What is the law of sin? The law of sin is that what you don't want to do, you have the energy to do it. That's the law of sin. The law of sin ensures that that thing you don't want to do, you have the energy, you have the motivation, you have the drive to get it done. Then the one you want to do, you don't have the drive to get it done. That's the law of death. The law of death ensures that when it's time to do good, you are dead. When it's time to do evil, you are alive. Are you with me? But the Bible says in Christ Jesus, when you are born again and receive the Spirit, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free. Are you with me? Oh, my God. From the law of sin and death, I thought you would shout glory. So, the second reason why people struggle with being yielded is the flesh. The third reason I wanted to add, but it still falls under this flesh, is the pleasure of disobeying God. Oh, yes. When you are acting contrary to the will of God, it has present pleasure and future pain. Mm-hmm. What do you think happened to Esau? You know, when Rebekah was pregnant for Isaac and Esau, sorry, for Esau and Jacob, when Rebekah was pregnant for Esau and Jacob, and she went to meet the Lord said, there are two manner of people. That means from Esau and Jacob, you are seeing patterns of life. He says, these are two manner of people. There are two kinds of people. There are two nations of people. The Esau kind of person, I want pleasure now. I don't care what it costs. I want pleasure now. What is best right to me? Give me food, Joe. Are you with me? Give me food. Can't you see I want to die? Give me food. And Esau was not wise. Do you know what your best right is? Hey. People say Jacob cheated Esau. I know. But if you study that story well, it was Esau that wanted to cheat Jacob. Pastor David, I am telling you, it was Esau that wanted to cheat Jacob. You have sold birthright. Why do you want to collect it again? He forgot that the birthright was the right to the blessing. Are you with me? Because the blessing was supposed to be for the first son. Are you with me? He sold the birthright. Are you getting me? You have sold the birthright. Now you want to take the blessing. Have you ever asked yourself, why did Rebecca say, Jacob, go and collect the blessing? What was moving her? She even said, if you are cursed, the curse will be upon me. Maybe there was a law in the spirit. After Jacob had received the birthright, Esau wanted to collect it back. The law will ensure,
Ah, my God. Am I preaching to you people this evening? Yes, the way you people are doing to me. Hey. If I was Esau, I sold birthright. I still wanted to collect blessing. I would have been surprised if I got it. Because Esau was not listening with the spirit. He didn't understand the laws in the spirit. You've sold it with your mouth. With your mouth, he said, what is this thing to me? You know, that story here. See, people should read the Bible. Well, how did Esau sell the birthright? How did he sell it? Jacob asked him. It was with his mouth. Oh. Jacob asked him, give me your birthright. Then he said, what? You can have it. What is birthright to me? Be careful of people who make careless statements about their lives. When you are talking about serious things, they say, you know, there was a time I used to warn some of us, even the married people amongst us. When they ask you, where is your wife? Say, leave that one, girl. He's with his side chick. Hey. So now I'm like, what are you saying? Do you know what you are saying? You look at someone, you know he's a man of God. You say, man of God, say, leave man of God here. Man of God cannot help me. Hey, you are using your mouth, your entire calling, your calling. Somebody said apostle. And you say, instead of you say, thank God, we bless God. You said, leave apostle now, I beg. What is apostle to me? How will apostle help my life? You know what you are doing? You are with your mouth destroying your future. They say, look at you. You are looking so beautiful. Me with my warm face like this. Hey! You just gave demons prompts to work with. You gave them prompts like this. So with my face that is rough like this. Just accept. I am beautiful. Accept. Accept. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I told you I'm teaching today, right? Yes, sir. My time is almost done, and we have not done up to 70% of this teaching. God. Okay. Number three. Why do people struggle with being yielded to God? Vain concerns. Hey. Vain concerns. We are more concerned with the cost of yielding to God than with the blessing of yielding to God. When people think about, when you tell them about surrendering to God, they are thinking about what they will lose than what they will gain. The Bible says, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abideth alone. John chapter 12. But if it dies, it bringeth forth much fruit. Have you been there where they said we are going to pray for 10 hours? And then you're like 10 hours. Hey. Then you stay through the prayer. When you are now done, you're like, thank God I stayed. Has that happened to you before? Or when we are going for evangelism, you're like, evangelism, we are here again. Hey. Then by the time you go out and see the way the word of God flowed through you, when you came back, you're like, thank God I did this evangelism. You now begin to feel a joy. A joy that money cannot buy. Many times people are more carried away with the cost of serving God than with the blessings of serving God. See, I think it's the devil has a way of obscuring your view from seeing properly. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 from verse 1, it says, well, for seeing that we are compassed about with so great the cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now see that. For who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Look at this. So how did he endure the cross? He was looking at the joy set before him. So the way to you to God, look at the joy set before thee. Think about what your life can be like if you yield. Yes, sir. Are you with me? Yes, sir.
Think about what can happen. Just imagine what will happen. See, trying to picture it. Imagine that every day of your life, you've been praying for 2 hours. Imagine you've read the Bible every day for the past 10 years. Where will you be now? Are you with me? Where will you be? Think about the possibilities of what your life can carry of being you there to God. You know, when God was telling me to leave oil industry and come into ministry, you see, vain concerns. I was asking God, how will I survive? What will my life look like? Now, I wish I obeyed earlier. Many times you don't even know the things you missed. And sometimes if God wants to make you cry small, he will show you small. See what you missed. See what you missed. I say, God, don't show me again. We have not gone far. We are just here. See what God has done. Tell your neighbor, the future is great, too. And one of the best illustrations I used to explain this. Do you know that the moon has no light of its own? But it is still called a great star. The Bible says, and God made two great lights, the sun to rule the day and the moon to rule the night. Yet all the moon does is just to stand in front of the sun. Just by aligning with the sun, it has become a great light. No light on its own, no, just yielded. Are you with me? So picture God as the sun and you as a moon. Are you with me? If you can just align yourself to him, let him reflect through you. As great as the sun is, the moon is on. The moon has the audacity to also be called the sun. Alongside with the sun, the moon is also called. That's what happens when you are aligned. A time will come where you will begin to produce God-like possibilities simply because you are aligned to God. Amen. Amen. Thank you. So quickly, how do you yield to God? Number one, by prayer. Number two, by discipleship. And number three, by training. We'll talk more about everything this on Sunday. On Sunday, I'm going to talk about yielded part two. And I'm going to go into being fully devoted to God. Because what I see is that many people, it's not like they are not yielded, but they are not yielded completely. They are like Rachel. When Rachel was leaving her father's house and Jacob was going with her and they were leaving the house of Laban, she left her father's household, but she still carried Laban's gods. They left, but she was still carrying some of the gods of Laban. Those idol gods and crafted images, she carried it. There are too many Christians. It's not like they have not yielded to God. They have yielded. Some of them have even worked miracles, done signs and wonders, but there are still places in their life that there is a struggle to yield completely to God. Say after me, I'm blessed. Jump on your feet. Say after me, I will yield to God. Say it again, Lord, I will yield to you. In fact, say it like this, I am yielded to God. Ah, my God, my God. You know, you see, some of the guys that work with me, sometimes I feel like I need to explain some things to them. When you one proper obedience to God, do you know what it can do to your life? One proper yieldedness to God. Let me tell you the truth. You see that song, I walk on water. Literally, I have been walking on water. When I mean literally, see, if I tell you how I make decisions, how I move from one day to the next day, you say, Pastor. If I explain what really happens, you say,
truly, you are walking on water. And I've come to discover, as long as it is Jesus telling me to come, I will come. I will yield. Say after me, I will yield. Say it again, Lord, I will yield to you. Lord, I will yield to you. Begin to pray right now. Ruta kapala talia. For the way of the Lord is the way of wisdom. I choose the way of the Lord. For the way of the Lord is the way of wisdom. I choose the way of the Lord. For the way of the Lord is the way of wisdom. I choose the way of the Lord. For the way of the Lord is the way of wisdom. I choose the way of the Lord. For the way of the Lord is the way of wisdom. We read a verse last week, Wednesday, Isaiah 45, verse 9. It says, woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Say after me, I will not strive with my maker. Do you know what it means? Woe. Hey, Jesus. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Woe. Say after me, I will not strive with my maker. I will not strive with my maker. I will yield to the Lord. Some of you, if God tells you now, leave that thing you are doing, go and start a baking business, will you agree? If he says leave fashion and go and start, if he now says leave that other one and go and do fashion, will you listen? Woe to him that striveth with his maker. Say it again. I will not strive with my maker. Thank you, Jesus. Lift your hands and exalt the name of the Lord. Exalt him, give him praise. Bless him.